Even time will be scarce. If you're not with the Prakrit Guru Vaishnavas, then in less than a moment will be very unfortunate, which cannot be estimated, or misfortune. Therefore, to be saved from this misfortune, and to always be related to the Aprakrit Jagat, Aprakrit personalities, then it is very essential to remember that glorious small boy. He doesn't know that his mother is always looking after him, and she doesn't leave him until unless he becomes big. Even when he becomes big, still she loves him very much. So similarly, so those who become proud, arrogant, their life becomes very hellish. And those who are always under ashraya anugatya, for them, there is no need to even be responsible for their own lives, because someone else is responsible for their life. You see, even I was a baby yesterday, I'm a baby today. This is enough for me. But still, this once a person becomes independent, then he becomes very proud. Once he becomes a little proud, once he gets a little qualified, then he becomes very arrogant. Then he doesn't care for anyone. He speaks of his own glories. See, whatever he has inherited from his father, from the Rishi Maharshis, from the authorities. Therefore, the Shastras are said, then, therefore, one who surrendered to Mukunda, then all the obligations he has towards the Rishi Maharshis, Devatas, and all the other living entities, and towards his relatives, family members, and to his well-wishers. See, they all are merciful to us, and they look after us, take responsibility for us. When we become independent in such a way that we do not remember their help, we become very ungrateful. And then whatever obligations we have towards them, towards our parents, we don't care for anyone. See, even if a neighbor does good to you, even if there's a person stitching cloth for you, even if there's a person arranging water for you, even if there's a person arranging food for you, even if the government is arranging something good for you, protecting you from all the thieves, then you should be obliged to them. But if you're not obliged to them, not grateful to them, then because of such independence, you suffer so much. Therefore, being always surrendered and under the guidance of Guru Vaishnavas, one should be surrendered. Then all good qualities will appear. And all good qualities will come. And one will never fall in this belt of Abhiman, pride. One will never have to jump in and play around in hell, rather than being destined to suffer in hell. For one who is always taking shelter of the Lord Sri Bhagavan, he'll always be happy. All good qualities will appear in him. He will never have to be independent and correct the impurities of others. He only needs, for one who is relishing nectar, you see, once there was a swan. Swan said, I'm eating the stem of the lotus in Mansarovar. And duck. You're eating all these insects, lizards. Although you're white in color, still you have very bad tendency. The swan told the duck. Even if you're white outside, still if you're very dirty inside, then what's the point? So how can you realize what I'm relishing? Therefore I'm Rajhamsa. I'm the king of all swans. I stay there in Mansarovar, where I eat the stem of the lotus, and where I'm always floating on this very beautiful water. And All the devas of Rishi Maharshis, I'm taking their foot dust. All has been bathed by their mercy. Inside out, I'm same. So as long as the living entity does not take shelter of Guru Vaishnavas and the associates of Sri Bhagavan, and until then, he'll always be suffering. And that suffering will never even end. Even if he does so much atonement, gives in charity, follows Vrata, still he will not be able to help himself. One is not surrendered himself, then he can never be Akinchan Nishkinchan. And he'll never be able to surrender himself. Therefore, one should always remember the glories of Guru Vaishnavas. And this way you'll never be separate, far from them. This is the best way for sadhana. Always remember the glories of Guru Vaishnavas. Therefore, Vyasadeva, all the Puranas, Upanishads, Ved, Vedanta, Shastra, Itihas, in all of them he's mentioned the histories of all the bhaktas. Somewhere Nachiket, somewhere Gargi, Jadabharat, all these histories is mentioned there. Why? Because the devotees will remember these histories of the devotees and better kirtan of their glories, and they're saved and they're rescued. Then they'll never have to suffer. There's no other way for them to be extricated from this ocean of birth and death. So in Krishnadipati Giriraj, in Govardhan, then there was a big meeting in Badibetan. Before, when he came from Govardhan, Indra had caused such huge downpour and leashed so many thunderbolts. And Giriraj, he uprooted all the trees, destroyed all the homes. 7 days, 7 nights, he inundated all of Raj with his rain, and each drop of his rainfall was like the trunk of an elephant. It's like a pillar, like a column, submerged all of Braja. Now that he attacked Giriraj, he attacked all of Raj. Krishna started thinking that if no, well, the Vrajavasis stay outside, where are their utensils, pots to cook? They have nothing. He's destroyed everything, no grass even for the cows to feed on. What will they drink? What will they eat? Indra has destroyed everything. Where is their chula, their fire pit? So Krishna, he told Purnamasi Yoga, my signal to her, that I'm staying here for 7 days, 7 nights, but in between, we'll have to make all arrangements. And then Indra lost, and all his power had gone away. Now you see, he had all his thunderbolts had finished, all the rain that he showered, the raindrops had finished. Now he was helpless now. Because if you do something wrong, then you lose all your paiti, you lose all your sukriti. If you do some bad things to superiors, then you lose everything. Then all that have accrued for millions of lifetimes, you lose everything in less than a moment. Therefore, the Guru Vaishnavas, Rishis, Maharshis, Taparshis, Brahmarshis, if you ever criticize them, if you even try beating them, you don't respectfully receive them, this way, by these six kinds of offenses, one falls down. Therefore, one becomes ready to be a devotee. See, there's no need to beat anyone. No need to criticize anyone, taunt anyone. For no reason, one is always taunting. And taunting even superiors. Saying, oh, my father, he likes my brother, he doesn't like me. Oh, he's a sadhu, he has only one eye like a crow. And also he hates Vaishnavas, he envies so much. If he sees the others are happy, then you cannot tolerate. You see, there's one person, he's staying in the temple for 50-60 years, and then there's another person who has newly come to the temple. He's playing the mridanga very nicely. He's respecting everyone. And the other person who has been living in the temple 50 years, he starts envying the other new devotee. He's saying, oh, he just came yesterday and I've been staying here since so many years. And now everyone respects him, but no one is respecting me. So he starts envying that person very much, very jealous. So who will ask about you? You're a pile of stool, pile of garbage. So even if you have, you only collected the impurities of everyone. Therefore, you have a huge pile of garbage inside. So you have no good qualities. So therefore, you're envying and you have jealousy. Therefore, Randi Nandante Aideshti. If any Sant Mahatma, you don't respectfully receive anyone. Saying, why should I respectfully receive? Why should I respect him? And they should respect me. And then he's saying, oh, becomes very angry. What should I do? I should now kill him using black magic anyhow. He goes inside the temple. And then he sees, he breaks everything inside the temple. And then he starts shouting. He goes to the kitchen. If the fire pit, there's no, if the fire pit is not lit, then he breaks the fire pit. He throws the pots away everywhere. He's very angry. And so he's plucking his own hair out. So he never becomes happy on seeing the devotees. They say such a person is bound to fall. So they say devatas have lost all their strength, Indra, because he's doing like this towards the Rajavasis. So Krishna told Bhagavati Yogmaya that Yogmaya Vrindadevi make all arrangements for the Rajadevis. Make sure all their homes are ready, all their fields are ready, all their gardens are ready, all the ponds are full of water. Everything should be ready, all the pots. All the gardens should be ready, prepared. Say, Golok Bihari Shri Hari, with all his eyes in Nitya Vrindavan, he should be a most suitable place for his enjoyment. So Krishna, he appeared in this Bahum Braj, he lifted Giriraj, and he said, oh Indra, you can destroy all of Brahma's creation, but you think you can destroy my Golok Vrindavan? Therefore, Golok Bihari Shri Hari, he descended with his Golok Vrindavan. So Parshad Sadam Siya Avatari. Bhagavan himself, what did he do? He bought his eternal abode of Braj and descended here. Purnamasi, she said, oh Bhagavati, he told Purnamasi, now make all the Aishwarya of Nitya Vrindavan appear here. You see, this is Chinmay Bhumi, transcendental. It sometimes can contract and sometimes expand. Anuranyan, Brahmayan. Sometimes you see, the dham looks very small. And sometimes you see, and the entire world can be accommodated in the dham. Everyone can have a place in Dham. So they say, Golok Vrindavan descended to this material world. Cannot even imagine how beautiful this is. You see, how can you recognize your house if it's very beautiful? Because one person who does sadhana in this world, in the Sandarbhas Jiva Goswami has said, if one does sadhana, then he'll realize gradually. Then where do I stay in Golok Vrindavan? Where my residence is? I belong to which group, which family. All this is realized in one's heart. You see, here also have a family. But all these family members are like ghosts. There's no need such ghosts. These ghosts don't want Bhagavan. They only like staying with ghosts like themselves. But that sadhak, who while even staying in this world, he's not affected by all these things. Like a lotus on the surface of the water, is never entangled in the water. Similarly, all the bhakta is here, he knows everything about the aprakrit jagat, transcendental world. He knows which seva is doing there, which group he belongs to, which family, everything. So Golok Bihari Shri Hari, he performed such pastimes that Vraj itself descended here. And so they all came off. When Indra stopped his rain, then they all came out, stepped out. The Krishna Sankarsham Shakti is potency of attraction. All the cows automatically went to the pasturing grounds. Nandasanandapinandanandan. All these gopas went back to their residences. Everything was ready as it was before. Then they were all thinking, how is this? The devatas, they created so much disturbances here, destroyed everything, but still our houses remain unaffected. In fact, they look even more beautiful. See there, so how did they not even know that Golok Bihari, Shri Krishna, he had arranged everything. Seeing how, look at the ways are so nice, so beautiful. Trees are full of fruits and flowers, and all the garbage has been removed. So everything has become very pure. And just see the effulgence of the sun. The rays of the sun is shining on our homes. And just see, all our clothes are so nicely arranged, as though they have been washed so nicely. You see, like when you enter a house and you see that someone's already arranged everything inside the house, you'll be so happy. So Rajwasi saw all the decorations, all the alankars, horses, everything was ready. And all the kinds of food was present inside their homes for them to honor. All different kinds of food. It seemed they had just gone in the morning and returned by evening. It seemed they had not even left their homes. See, that beauty cannot even be described. But our Goswami is, especially in his Sandarbhas, Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami has described this beauty in his Bhakti Sandarbha. The God is the influence of Bhakti. If anyone does Bhajan Bhakti, then for Bhagwan, then according to this mood, Bhagwan, he manifests his form in front of that Bhakta and appears according to the gradation of the Bhakta's Bhakti. There's also a gradation in the manifestation of Bhagwan's form. Now that Bhagwan manifests his form equally in front of all Bhaktas, for some he is Nirgun, for some he is 400, for some he is 600, for some he is 200. So according to the bhava of his Bhakta, he manifests himself. So being pleased by the bhava of the Vrajavasis, he decorated Vraj so nicely. And these glories of Prakrit Vraj is impossible. Brahmaji is sitting. He's offering so many prayers. Ananda Chinmaya Pratibhavita Abhistabhireva Nijarupataya Kalabhi. And then he's saying, Golavagan Nivasatma Kilatma Bhutto. He says, Golok. Not Golok. This Golok means so beautiful. He says, Brahma, he recited so many verses in glorification of Govinda. In his Brahma Samhita. He is glorifying Rajmandal Dham. So at that time, everyone, when they became very happy, when they rested, that time everything was ready. So at that time, it seemed that they just cooked. They made everything ready and they just left and then returned after a couple of hours. See, they actually were staying for 7 days, 7 nights under Giriraj. And there also Giriraj, he arranged everything for them. Sweets, dal bati churma, dal, rice, clothes, he arranged everything for them. When they stepped out, then therefore it is said, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Therefore, Guru Varga, they say, so sound like, say, our Guru Varga, they went to the west. So we asked, oh Gurudev, there's no place for you to stay there, where will you stay? And Gurudev said, oh, why are you so worried? You stay here in this well. But Krishna will arrange everything for me. Now you see how Gurudev, Swami Maharaj, they were so old, but still you see, everything was arranged for them, for their preaching. So in the evening, all of them, they came to Andhubhav, all the Vrajavasis. And then there were two Baitaks, means two places where the Vrajavasis would assemble. Badi Baitak means all the Vrajavasis would come. All the elderly Vrajavasis would come. And they said, oh Nanda, listen. Oh Nanda, we are folding our hands, we have a request to you. So what is the request? That your son, he is not an ordinary boy. He is Narayan himself. And he, after performing austerities, after having performed austerities for so many years, you had this boy as his son. He's taken all responsibility to look after us, to nourish us, save us. 7 days, 7 nights he held Giriraj. Now he's very tired. Now again you're sending him tomorrow morning cowherding. Let him rest for some time. And then we'll all serve him, this boy. And whatever he wants, this boy, ghee, butter, milk, yogurt, we'll give him everything. And we'll feed him ourselves. He is very worshipful to us. And don't never scold him, chastise him. And never discipline him. They say they convinced Nanda. Nanda boy started laughing. He said, oh, even if he's Narayan, I don't care. He's my son. He's, even though you're 90 years old, still your teeth haven't, your milk teeth haven't fallen out. You have no intelligence. Even if he's Bhagwan, he's my son. Even I'll fondle him, I'll play with him. I'll discipline him, chastise him, I'll caress him. I have every right to do so, he's my son. Then you see all the elderly Vrajavasis, they said, yes, what if he becomes spoiled? So someone may say, oh, he's Swayam Bhagwan, how can he be spoiled? Oh, he'll go down the wrong path. Then they said, no, we have to always look after him, they said. They said, as soon as Krishna came, then they forget all their Aishwarya Bhav. Then Krishna, he sat on their shoulders, on their laps. So he started snatching some food from their hands, someone started feeding him. And then he started pulling on their beards. He said, oh, uncle, what have you bought for me? Did you bring something for me? I said, Krishna, he started being very mischievous there. There they forgot all their conceptions that Krishna is Bhagwan. Now again they realized he is just our son. He is baby Gopal. Because Gopal, he is very restless. See, Gopal, he is never equipoised. Because he is a small boy. So when everyone sat down, then he said, Ananda. You see, we are straight. Oh, Nanda, you've been staying in your home all your life. Now at least go and stay in one Tirtha for some time, for one Kalpa. Kalpa means there are two fortnights in 1 month, the dark fortnight and the bright fortnight, Krishna Paksha, Shukla Paksha. So for one fortnight, one should either stay in Yamuna or on the bank of the Ganga, in Adibadri, in Kedar, Chardham, Gangotri, Yamunotri, stay in these different pilgrimage places. Because you see, these pilgrimage places, they're very holy. Everyone is related to them. Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Avantika, Ujjain, Dharavati, Dwaraka. These 7 places, they give liberation. Therefore, by going to these places, one achieves mukti. One will never have to face any difficulty, misery, poverty. Just by staying in one place, we may do many bad things. We think, oh, this is mine, that is not mine. But therefore one should stay in these tirthas for fortnight at least. Not just be bound by these 4 walls in one's house. So I said, oh Nanda, all of us, we'll go this month of Magh to Triveni Sangam, where the Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati meet during this time of Kumbh Mela. We'll stay for 1 month at the banks of the Ganga, and then we'll give in charity, we'll do japa, we'll practice austerities, we'll follow vratas. And they say, every day we'll honor Bhagwan's Mahaprasad there. We'll stay there. Because if we are always surrounded by luxury, then we'll be born as insects, worms or snakes. This body is meant for some tapasya, for some austerities, meant for to be engaged in Bhagwan's seva. If one is not renounced, if he's not performing austerities, then that person will either become a buffalo or he'll become a python. And you see, if one is always looking after his body, then he is always staying inside, and then when they say he is always staying in his house, then he doesn't know anything. He just locks the room, locks the door, and then he just remains trapped inside his room. These persons can never attain auspiciousness. You should do some tapa, some austerities, some japa, give something in charity, work for the benefit of others. So they all the Vrajavasi told Nanda Maharaj. Then Nanda Maharaj said, see, I don't know anything. I heard everything. I'll consult with all the Shadrishi, Maharishis, Tapasvis, and let's see what order they give to us. But I'm not independent. I said, no, you're our king of Raj. He said, if I'm the king, still have my own gurus. And I also have my guardians, my instructors, great instructors. Abhivavak means guardian, man. Only after consulting with all of them, then I'll tell you my teaching. So on the next day, all the Rishi Maharshis, on one side Bindadevi, and then Purnavasi, Yogamaya, Nandimukhi, and all the ancient Tattakya, Vicharakya, means duly considerate and duly realized. And all Tattva Siddhanta, all these Rishi Maharshis, they came to Nandalaya. Because the Rishi Maharshis wanted to see these Vrajavasis, they suffered so much there. Let's see how they are now. Let's see if they need something or not. But still, you see, they never had any shortage. Food, clothing, water, nothing. See, the king always looks after the well-being of citizens. If there's someone who's suffering so much and he doesn't have anyone, the king himself will arrange that the person will be looked after. This is the duty of a king. See, Ramacharya, what did he do? When one of his household disciple was suffering so much, then he sent his brahmachari. Then he said, go and serve there. He said, how can I go serve in the householder's house? Guru's house. He said, no, go there. One who is doing bhakti, regardless of whoever he is, Grihasthi, Vanaprasthi, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, still just serve. Even if he's whatever, Grihasthi, Tyagi, still he'll have to serve him. All these things should not be seen. So he sent the renunciant there. And then they said that person's cooking, he would massage the feet of the in-laws, he would cook, he would clean, wash pots, everything. He'd say, I'm Guru Sevak, and really I'll also serve all of you, he said, this is my Guru's order. He said, the Guru says, only if you follow my Sevak, then follow my order, then you're my Sevak, or else you're your Sevak. So he didn't say anything. So therefore he went to his householder, after his Guru Maharaj sent him there, or his Acharya Ramanuja. So therefore, a king is like that. Maharaj Nanda, he wanted to care, he cares for all the Vrajavasis. So then all the Rishi Maharshis asked Maharaj Nanda, oh Nanda, how's your abode of Vraj? Has everything been destroyed? Somehow by this ill fortune, these demigods created some disturbances here. You know, they said before this place was an ashram. Ashram means no fatigue, but now, you see, there's only this shram, means this joy. Now that we've come here and had darshan of all the Vrajavasis, automatically we become absorbed in meditation. We don't need anything else to meditate on. You say, oh Maharaj Nanda, we have no need of anything. Your son, your son himself is present amongst us, what need do we have for anything else? You say, Rishi Maharshis were glorifying Nanda so much. Then Nanda Maharaj, he prayed. Oh, it's not good for me to stay in one place. I have to go at least for 1 month and stay in a pilgrimage place. You see, water should always be flowing. If it becomes stagnant, it becomes dirty. Therefore, Yogi Rishi Maharshis, if they stay in the house of a householder for a lot of time, then even their minds will become like them. Therefore, this is called Kai Kalpa. It means at least for some days you stay in Tirtha and make yourself pure. And you should relish, collect something from there, from all these Tirtha Salis. So then the Rishi Maharshis, they said, what you said is very true. We will also go with you to Kumbh Mela. Whoever wants to go, will also go. They say, all the Rajavasis also said, we'll also go. And the little boys said, we'll also go. The peacock said, we'll go. All the cows, buffaloes, they said, we'll also calves, everyone, we'll all go, he said, all the fall of Rajas go. So Nanda said, alright, I have one more master, let's see what he'll say. So on the third day, at Chattopaddan, there was a big assembly, many scholars there. So there he had two sons, Kalua and Balua. In Bengali they say Kanai Balai. Here they say Kanua Balua in Braj Bhasha. And some say Krishna Balram. So according to their bhav, they choose a particular name. So they call these two. And they came and sat down. But where would they sit? will they sit on the ground? Will they sit on Asan? No. When they come, one boy, that is Krishna, he catches hold of. He sits on one side of Nanda's lap, and Baldev sits on the other lap. And they say, Nanda's heart melts so much seeing these two small boys. And they're caught hold of Nanda, they're kissing him, pulling on his beard, pulling on his hair. No one can even imagine such mamata, such love that is shared between them. So when he sat down, he said, oh, everyone has this desire that there's Kumbh Mela going to happen in Prayagraj, in Haridwar, and sometimes in Nashik, sometimes in Ujjain, sometimes in Goshpatirtha and Kalagodavari. So say, Kumbh Mela is always taking place in Punyasthalas. So, so Baba, what happens in this Kumbh Mela? What is this Kumbh? It seemed Krishna didn't know anything. And Nanda, he said, we've heard previously that the Rishi Maharshi has performed so many austerities in Tirthas, then Bhagavan himself descended and Bhagavan, he gives this pot of nectar to the Devatas, and Devatas drink this pot of nectar and they become free from all rogue shoktap, disease, lamentation, naimitik karma. And so they become eternally related to Sri Bhagavan, become his eternal associates. There's no need for them to, you know, to work so hard. All they have to do is go to Kumbh Mela and then do some tapasya. And there's so many senior Rishi Maharshis there. Consult with them. They will say how to do everything. And we'll just go bathe during Brahma Muta and bathe there. Three Sandhya Snan means 3 times a day we bathe there in Triveni Sangam. Then we'll chant our mantras. And then when there's Sai Snan, then Bhagavan himself comes. All these senses, bhaktas. And then this way they all will relish this nectar, Paramamrita. So Krishna, he said, that I know in this Vrindavan, Guruji, he brought this pot of nectar to Vrindavan. And he sat on this Kadamba tree, which is in Kaliyadaha. And when he put the pot there, one or two drops fell on the Kadamba tree. And this Kadamba tree also became immortal. And even this tree became very powerful. But all the Rishi Maharshi is here, desire. Guruji, he is Bhagavan's carrier, his sevak. So he should be respected, satisfied, because he bought this pot of nectar. Guruji would say, then once there's a mongoose. So then, one person, he loved a mongoose so much. And this mongoose was always with him in his house. Meanwhile, this lady, she gave birth to a son. And then she told the mongoose, look after my son. There's a forest here. Many snakes might come. So make sure I'm going to fetch some water. And then she was going to fetch some water. Then the mongoose saw a snake coming there, and the snake is going to bite the boy. So then he fought with the snake and then killed the snake. And then the blood of the snake was seen on his face. And then the mother was coming. And then the mongoose wanted to run to the mother and say, I just killed the snake. But then she saw that, oh, he has blood. So say, he's bitten my son surely. She took one stick and started beating the mongoose so much and killed the mongoose. She killed the mongoose, and as she saw the mother, the baby is very nice, and as she saw the body of the snake had been killed. So they say, the mongoose had saved the baby, and so the border had fought away and killed this mongoose. Therefore, before you do anything, you should always think about it. Then you should do something. Don't be hasty or clumsy in what you're about to do. That's just say she killed the mongoose. See, so Garuda should have been respected and welcomed. Garuda was hungry, and then Garuda saw the many fish there on the banks of the Yamuna Nandini Hirid. He kept the pot there, and he caught a big fish, and he ate the fish. And they say, Sabarirshi, he was offering austerities and water. And then they say he saw some fish were weeping so much. Saying, "Oh, you just saved my father, what to do? You look after us kindly. For 10,000 years, you were performing meditation here, austerities. And just see now, I've become a widow, my husband has died. The children said, oh, we become orphans now." So seeing them cry, Sabarirshi, he, rather than respecting Garuda, he cursed him. "Oh Garuda, if you ever don't come to Vrindavan, if you come, then your head will be separated from your body. Don't ever come here," he said. And Garuda said, "All right," and took the pot of nectar and he left. So then Kalia, he saw, because Kalia was an enemy of Garuda, he was always fighting with him. And Garuda had promised that I'll, not just Kalia, I'll finish off his entire dynasty. So therefore he started eating all the snakes and fish. So now Kalia saw Garuda will not come to Vrindavan. So Kalia, he came and entered and said Vrindavan. And you see there Kalia finished the entire dynasty of fish. Garuda ate only one fish. And after Kalia came, he ate all the fish. Not even one fish remained. And the entire place became full of poison. And says, Sabarirshi, he cursed Garuda. What happened to him? He saw this fish. Then he saw the wife weeping so much. Children weeping, so he cursed Garuda. So they say he saw this fish. Then after 10,000 years, he's thinking, oh, no, I want to go to Mathura. He went to the king, Mandata. He said, "Oh, king, I've come now." He said, "All right, Maharaj, very nice, you've come here." Then he gave an asan, did arti of Sabarirshi. Then he said, "I've come, listen." He said, "I have your 50 daughters. Give me one daughter," he said. "If you don't give me, then he'll curse." And also, he's very old now, 10,000 years old. Staying in water, all his body has become so old. So then, who will possibly marry him? Then he said, "Oh, king, go bring here." So the king said, you can choose any daughter you like. So then he understood. So what to do? By the strength of his yoga, he became very beautiful now, like a prince. He became very handsome. And all the ladies seeing him, they became crazy. Then he said, one lady said, "He is my Rasgulla." Another lady said, "He is my Gulab Jamun." And another lady said, "He is my Rabadi." They said, all the 50 girls started becoming crazy about him. So then the king thought, all 50 daughters want to marry him now. Then he took all the 50 daughters away on 50 aeroplanes. And for so many years he enjoyed with them. But still the more he enjoyed, the more the fire was raging. You see, he enjoyed for 10,000 years. And he said, "I enjoyed so many years, still why am I so dissatisfied? Now I've been happy my entire life now." And even this, more he wants to enjoy, more and more this fire is raging. And I'm not even feeling distaste for this enjoyment. I've lost all my tapasya for this enjoyment. So then he was thinking. Then you start praying, "Adarashi Shri Bhagavan." And what Krishna say? So since then, Garuda never came. Therefore, Kumbh Mela is never celebrated in Vrindavan. So because Garuda never came back here. Then Krishna said, "All right, there's Ujjain, Nasik, Koshpatirtha, Haridwar, Prayagraj. Wherever Kumbh Mela takes place there, I'll ask all these Tirthas if they'll come to Vrindavan or not. Because Kalya is left, Sabri is left. And also Garuda, he has this curse on him. Therefore, he cannot come to Vrindavan, but I will call Garuda here. And he will say, Krishna Sakha Sridham. He became Garuda. If you go to Garuda Govinda, there you see. It's not Garuda actually. It's actually Sridham. Krishna is sitting on Sridham. He is going the carrier of Krishna. So the Sevak is also a friend, he's also a servant, he's everything. So he called his Sevak. He said, I'll call everyone here. Everyone will come here. And in this way, all the Rishi Maharshis who are present, all the Tirthas, will call all of them. Therefore, when you go to this Visham Ghat in Mathura, the 24 ghats there. And every ghat is a very important place of pilgrimage. See, they all came to these pilgrimage places. They met with Mathura Devi, Yamuna Devi, and then all Saptarishis, Yagyavalka, Tatatraya, Parasara, Vyasadeva, Ambarish Maharaj, all of them. They then took the pot of nectar and this Kumbh Mela takes place there. Ardhakumbhi means once every 6 years, which is during the day. Like beginning from Amavasya to Purnima during the bright fortnight. Not during the dark fortnight, but the bright fortnight. There everyone came. And they all gave darshan. All the Tirthas gave darshan, and then Nandava and everyone else. They came to Vaivadhi, returned to Vrindavan during this Ardhakumbh Mela, which is during every 6 years. And they all have different meeting places, different places. Some places they're doing yagya, and some places they're organizing feast. And some places distributing prasad. This way, Rishi Maharshi's puja, they're being worshipped in this way. All of Vrindavan. So Krishna, he said, this Kayakalpa, what is the real tattva? This body is a mixture of five material elements. And made of gross bodies, made of five elements, and subtle bodies, made of subtle elements. Mind, intelligence, false ego. That's what is earth, wet, fire, ether. So as long as these coverings are not removed, then how will the Swarupa, the Atma, manifest? How will we be established in this Atma Swarupa? This is the real meaning of giving Amrit. Giving nectar means giving this position of one Swarupa. Means to be realized in one's room. Also everything else is only like mrita, leads to death. So even if you give as much nectar, then the body is destined to die. Amrit means you get immortal, means you become eternally youthful as an associate of Sri Radha and Krishna. This is real Amrit, this Sarup Siddhi. Without Sarup Siddhi, one can never be immortal. Can never be an associate of Sri Bhagavan. Therefore, this Kumbh Mela, one becomes free from this material body and becomes free from this subtle body, and one becomes established as a Prakrit Atma Shari. This is the meaning of celebrating Kumbh Mela. Like some of the Nagababas, they have swords, they kill people. Then this is not a war. People fighting with each other, some dying, stepping on the others. Will you have Sarup Siddhi this way? Will you be able to see your Atma? If Kumbh Mela means you should pray to realize your Atma. Therefore, those Rishis, they had relished this nectar and they had given this. And they made one realize his Atma Sarup and be related to Shri Bhagavan. And they say, even one achieves his Atmashari, his transcendental body, his innate body. So Sri Krishna made everyone ready. Narada Rishi has his blessing. Let He do my round, then you wait for me. I'll make all arrangements. So when he lost his material body, he himself did not know. Naradrishi. And Dhruva also, see, his material body was transformed into spiritual body. So they say, Drishi Maharshi, Tapasi, Dandakaranya Maharshi, all of them. So say, they all took birth, but still their body had some touch of the remote material nature. Therefore, the husbands locked them inside. And then they left their bodies behind. And Yogamaya, she also made some arrangement. This way, by staying for 1 month there in Kumbh Mela, and by relishing the water of the Gaya Saraswati, one will achieve his Divya Swarup. Therefore, again, this Kumbh Mela started again. Or else, Kumbh Mela was never celebrated in Vrindavan. Because Garuda, he was cursed to not return. I think. Therefore, Prakrit Vastu should never be understood as being Prakrit. That which is transcendental should never be understood as being material. This Amrit nectar is a Prakrit Tattva. Else everything else leads into death. Mrita. But who gives this Amrita? Divya Gandhadi Yatat. One who has this Divya Gyan, the nectar of Gyan, knowledge. This Leela Katha, Shri Bhagwan, by listening to his Leela Katha, then one gradually he goes from the Pravritti Mark to the Nivritti Mark, means from the path of enjoyment to the path of renouncing everything. If one's moha is not going away, his Akshakti is not going away, one's always entangled. Like a spider. This spider even doesn't become entangled in a spider web. All the other insects get trapped in it. But we, unlike the spider, we have become trapped. We cannot achieve this liberation. But what is liberation? It means to be established in one's position as servant of Sri Krishna. So can one have this mukti? Therefore, this is the real meaning of observing Kumbh Mela. Krishna told the Vrajvasis that we will have to enter into this Divya Lok, transcendental abode, and serve Lord Sri Bhagavan and his assets. Nowadays, you see, the Kumbh Mela they celebrate, then Gurudev would say, there's no need to go to such festivals. When the Kumbh finishes, then you go. When all these ghosts go away, in third or fourth day, then all of you should go to Prayagraj after the Kumbh Mela has finished. And then they say, no, do Hari Kirtan and for all in the foot dust of all the devotees there, and then we'll be benefited. So then Maharaj from there, he would go to Chitrakoot, Ayodhya, Naimisharanya, and go to Prayagraj, and then after that, he would return. So nowadays you see in Vrindavan. You see in Vrindavan now, they're doing so many things, dancing, dramas, theatres, they're doing all sorts of things. In the name of Kumbha, they're doing many things, like starting business, big showrooms are open, exhibitions are open. Sometimes there's gold, silver, exhibitions, all these things are there. This is not the real meaning of following Kumbh Mela. Therefore, Krishna, he has given, to give this Aprakrit Amrit Tattva, Krishna has made all arrangements. At the time, all the elderly residents of Raj, you see, even those who could not speak, they became restless, started speaking so much, they started playing with Krishna. He said, oh, my body had become so weak and so old, now I have a new form. Even the old ladies of Raj became like youthful women, kishoris. They said, all the sarups changed. See, even the cows, calves became transcendental. Then this is the fruit of falling Kumbh Mela. Or else, if one doesn't get the Saprakrit Amrit, it's transcendental nectar. Therefore, Krishna said, Keval Paramavritam Jivitam Bhushanam. This is Jivanamrit and Paramamrit. This is Moksha Amrit. So in this way, therefore it is said, if one wants to achieve this portion of relishing nectar, Amrit Tattva, then all this has been stored with the parikars of Sri Bhagavan. Whenever Kumbhamela takes place, the first the arrangement is made that everyone will come. They will do tapasya, engage in tyag, renunciation. They will not pray for mundane things. They will pray for saprakrit nectar, transcendental nectar. But nowadays, you see, they don't have no proper knowledge. They have no proper realization. Therefore, in the name of Kumbhamela, they say, oh, we'll get some piety, some punya. And they achieve something also. They get something and they're happy with that. But if you're really intelligent, you'll pray the sadhak, the Ragnanga Marga sadhak. He will, except for the sanrag, he will not desire anything else. This sadhak was following Ragnanga Bhakti, Rupanuga Bhakti. So this way we heard all these histories of Kumbhamela from Maharaj. And also it is said that all the Shri Maharaj's tapasis, not that Krishna, he only washed their feet. Did not see again, no. He also respectfully received them. He would wash their feet, take the Charanamrit. Because if someone would see Krishna ordering the Charanamrit, then he also take Charanamrit. So he fed all the Shri Maharajis. And then he took that Charanamrit. Then he took their remnants. And they say, they made everyone realize the Saprakrit Tattva. If one cannot respect others, worship others, then why would Bhagavan be happy with that person? Therefore, Krishna himself, by his own practices, he has shown. Now we'll listen tomorrow. Hari Bol. So tomorrow is Satyal Ekadashi. This Ekadashi where sesame seeds are worshipped. So don't eat all these sweets which have sesame seeds. Because teal is also like rice, sesame seeds. Therefore, satil means one bathes with these sesame seeds, he uses the sesame seed oil, performs yagya with these sesame seeds. They say, in six ways these sesame seeds. They say, they offer oblations with sesame seeds. They offer sesame seeds to Bhagavan. That's his regulation. But don't eat these sesame seeds. You offer them to Bhagavan, but not that you eat them yourselves. But here you see, they eat this rabadi made of sesame seeds, sweets made of sesame seeds, and they eat anything made of sesame seeds tomorrow. Ekadashi, they eat so much. So if you want to follow this path of Paramarth, transcendental bhakti, then don't give attention to all these mundane things. Yes, you should make sure Bhagwan gets everything. You press all these sesame seeds, make some, get some nice oil, massage Bhagwan, do his abhishek with this. Of a boga, but don't eat anything yourself. So tomorrow we listen to Satyal Ekadashi.